Mike's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
It's funny to me, I did just have a thought that now that my cousin's son has a YouTube channel, he's 8. Hmm. Like, is that him? But no, that guy's probably 30 at this point, whoever that kid is.
Has been around a while. Yeah, that's right.
My cousin's son has a YouTube channel. I tweeted about it a couple of days ago, Camden Cleans. Bulldog, he goes around like neighborhoods and picks up garbage.
All right.
I mean, good for him. What a cool idea. And so you can like follow him and see him do it. He was just in the falls last Saturday, Camden Cleans, just sort of picking up trash off the street.
I appreciate the motivation.
That wasn't him.
To do something like that, because I'm one who I live on it's a busy corner. There is regularly just junk, either at the curb right or like it comes up on the and I don't know, 4 times a week I'll get home from work, park my truck, and like pick up a piece of a little triangle cardboard pizza carrier.
Not Q-tips.
No Q-tips. Those I pick up off my bathroom floor. They must be very, I don't use them, but whoever in my home uses them has a very hard time. Maybe they don't fly straight. I don't know. Q-tips, they're just always on the floor, like behind the toilet. So
who looks there?
That's a different thing. And your cousin, did you say? What?
My cousin's son, they live in New Hampshire, he picks up trash.
I wouldn't expect him to clean up behind my toilet. That's in the house, and that would be weird if he had access.
Yeah, that would be ironic if he didn't pick up for himself. Like if maybe his mom was frustrated, he just picks up other people's garbage.
Right, and he just his stuff is a mess. Right,
the bathroom's a disaster, but he's picking up napkins off the sidewalk. Okay, well, here we are. Game day on Sunday. I saw a tweet, and I just have a minute ago looked this up. What is DJ Moore's over-under receiving yards number likely to be for this game? Got a guess?
54.5.
48.5.
Okay.
You're not far off.
No, I feel like I'm reasonably in the ballpark.
You want to hammer that? I mean, yesterday,
because I thought it would be
no, not even that. Nah. I mean, you didn't guess. No. You were trying to guess the real number, which I appreciate because that was the question. Yesterday, we talked to Sal about this because you were making the point that the Patriots didn't do well enough getting A.J. Brown involved in their game with Seattle, and okay. And so, will the Bills do likewise, or do you think we actually also have talked about what Joe Brady's first play will be as head coach, and I kind of like that still. But
hook and ladder. It worked there last year.
What you do, that's right. What you do if you have this thought at all is you throw him a screen immediately. Like that's how you do it. You don't try to get him on like a in route 15 yards down the field or something like
basically
that.
Basically the Shakir play from the last couple of seasons is what we're talking. Like a tunnel screen, just like get it in his hands.
Get him hit once.
Make them respect him right away, which is, that is the point I was making about A.J. Brown and the Patriots. I mean, I thought that they went a couple of series, and I thought it was a little, I just would have liked to see them do it earlier, and I feel the same about Moore. Here's the new guy. This is one of the should be, hopefully, one of the most impactful additions to your team. And not only that, this is a team that absolutely just smashed you in the face repeatedly last season when you did not have him on your team or any receiver maybe even reasonably comparable to him. You also didn't have Dalton Kincaid in that game. But more to me, yeah, like let's let them know right away, like this is how it's going to be. And as much as we got fatigued by those tunnel screens, you know, even though they were largely pretty effective, when they don't work, they feel like, why didn't you do something better? But they made plenty of good plays off of those plays. It gets the ball out of the hand of Josh Allen quickly. And that, I think, until we get into the game, I'm not saying the Bills should operate this way all game long, like go in so scared to let Josh Allen hold the ball on a five-step or even a seven-step drop or something. But quick should be the thing you want to accomplish, I think. Like, you know, I'm thinking of a game, I don't know, maybe one of Rex's first games as the Bills coach, and the Giants and Eli Manning rolled in here, and Rex saw, you know, this defense, we got edge guys, oh, we're going to just get after it, right? Jim Schwartz's defense wasn't, that was number two, we're going to be number one. Remember all the bravado about that? And I'm not sure if this exactly lines up with his first year or whatever. I just remember a Giants game at you know, the Ralph, where Eli Manning, his average time of like getting rid of the ball was like close to 2 seconds. Like, he just never held the ball all day long. It's like Jerry Hughes and whomever could win all you want, but they're not going to get there. So I think a dose of that is probably, I'm getting way into, do we have a sponsored thing in the 5 o'clock hour for the game plan or something? Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
I don't know.
Maybe. But I think, this opponent should call for a good amount of that. Because you got to do something to at least get into the game and not have Allen right away feeling like, oh, here we go again. And I think a good way to do that is just what I said, just quick. You know, doesn't have to be tunnel screens necessarily. You know, slants can be that. Three steps, boom, the ball's out. That's functional. So I'm expecting almost to see a good dose of that on Sunday from the Bills.
Well, we usually talk to Sam Paniatovich 3:30 Eastern on Fridays. That's changing. He's got another commitment, like his job, namely, and we're moving up an hour. So today we're doing that at 5:30.
Yes, that's what we set up.
And then it looks like that's going to be at 2:30 in future weeks. But I like on Friday, especially now that the season is here, sort of getting into that space with Sam, you know, on deck and talking about the props. I don't know that we have to do that. We never have to do that. But I do think this is interesting about the Bills and this game is that Josh Allen's passing yards prop. So I've got the app I use up. Doesn't exactly give you the perfect number, but I'm going to say from reading it the way it looks here, is going to be around 228.5 is Allen's number. Somewhere around there is the number. Who catches the ball? I mean, if it's everybody eats, like it's been, with the same play caller and the same players, plus DJ Moore, and DJ Moore isn't getting much love here, because I told you his was like 48 yards, then it's hard to bet on any of it. Like, who is the guy? This game.
Yeah, I think what most Bills fans might be inclined to do, and I don't know, you can feel free to call and correct me out there, Bills fans at 803-0550, if I am wrong. I'll bet a lot of Bills fans would hammer overs on DJ Moore's stuff because they might think, and this is a reasonable enough bet, we're talking about props and betting, I think it's a reasonable enough bet to think everybody eats is dead. They have more now. And yeah, we need to see it first, but that's the beauty. It's the first game, so we don't really know. You know, maybe they'll do like the Patriots did and not target him until the third series of the game or something. But I feel like the biggest difference, Kincaid should matter to this too, like I already referenced, but the biggest thing you've got going for you, everything else is pretty much a new left guard. Everything else is the same. I've got DJ Moore on my team, and my passing offense has barely been able to function. Allen threw for a reasonable amount of yards in last year's game. It was the year before's game where he was 9 for 30, and it was just really gross. But still, it was not a good day by any stretch, whatever the final numbers ended up being. I think he was in like the 230, maybe right around the number you just said for the over-under for him, I think, if my recollection is correct.
So 253.
Game. Okay. All right, a little more then.
But that hook and ladder play is
45
a lot
of it. Yeah, right.
So it's probably 200 or less going into that last drive.
So
still,
you know, I feel like you a fan, maybe even not even a Bills fan, like somebody that's just pouring over props for the weekend. I think, well, DJ Moore's new there. They never had him before. They haven't had a number one receiver in a couple of years. I'm going to bet that they want to make a statement with
him. Well, this is exactly – you're not saying different yet. This is exactly why I would never do it.
Right. It's the room.
I don't want – it's the room. Yeah. I don't want to bet with the fans. Like, if fans are just going to tell you at every turn how good he is, you know, I just need – I need to see it first, too. Because there are plenty of people who are not fans that don't think
mm-hmm.
so. Mm-hmm. So, I've got – I mean, it's logical.
Yeah, me, it's a bet worth making. I mean, I'm not going to tell you, like, oh, it absolutely will happen or anything, but –
Five catches.
I'm looking at that and go, you know, I think I like his chances.
Five catches, not 10, five on DraftKings pays plus 164. If he's an integral part of the game plan and they're functioning, then you get there.
For sure.
If either of those things is not the case, you do not.
Right.
I mean, I think he should be important to what they want to do. He's a player they didn't have last year and didn't have in their loss to Houston. So, you know, it's a pretty big investment. And it's a pretty big statement to make in week one if you can get 7 for 100. You could even get, what was Evans last night? Something like that. I mean, that's really, Evans looks really much like a possession receiver at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you throw it to him, he catches it. And
that's right.
Like, that was effective. He scored a touchdown. I mean, that's a 20-point fantasy night, isn't it? Maybe.
Yep.
Like, if you get something like that from your new receiver, everybody's happy.
Right.
Like, okay, well,
and
maybe this will work.
I think Joe Brady, whether it has been said directly or he just feels it or he's just trying to do what he thinks is going to be best for his team in this game, like, any one of those three avenues – could funnel you toward, they're going to feed more. It's the big investment from the GM. The GM made a spectacle out of himself the year before talking about, you know, I don't need a guy. We got Josh Palmer and what, you know, all the stuff. I don't need to rehash it all. But I think if an organization or a new head coach, first time head coach who is the play caller, has ever felt subtle, subconscious even pressure to demonstrate that he can make something work and look smart doing it, get everyone sort of behind him and them, that's the thing to do. We know James Cook led the league in rushing last year. We know Josh Allen is a freak show of an athlete and can hurt you with his legs and his arm. What we don't know is whether we've got a guy that can help you solve Houston. And everybody over there wins if he goes for 7 and 110 and a score or something.
Yeah. Evans was 6 for 49 and 1, so not even 20 points, but 17, basically.
Close enough.
You know, some games, the Bills have been so good that most of their games, if you look at it right, you know, before kickoff, and you imagine the possible outcomes, if you thought, like, you know, if they lose this game, what is it? You know, it's usually a bad loss. Like, if they lose to the Jets, obviously, for example, like, that's a bad loss. And then, this is, again, a higher bar to clear because of who they are, but then you have, like, good wins. I think this is that. I mean, even though they're favored in Houston, and they kind of outrank Houston over the, not by a mile, but over the last few years for, like, what they've been, what they've accomplished, Houston's, like, right there, but it's a tier lower.
I agree with that.
It's still, like, considering the last 2 years that you brought up, I mean, that's a pretty good win if they get it.
It is definitely not a, all right, on to next week sort of win, I don't think. It's a really hard game, I think. And so, you know, that to me is almost irrefutably true. And with that said, I mean, I guess depending on how it looks, right? I mean, if they're just inept and can't, you know, if it looks like last year or even more so the game 2 years ago, I could see getting to, well, you know, it's a good opponent, the defense is elite, and they just seem to be Josh Allen's kryptonite. But if you can't function as a Super Bowl favorite, maybe sort of like the Rams last night, you're going to go, like, you know, yeah, that's a tough opponent, but it's still a bad performance, if not a bad loss. Like, if you just can't run your stuff, which is kind of how it was. I mean, the biggest play of that game last year, just reference it, was a hook and ladder play. Cook broke one, too. And there was a kick return, too, and it was, right, mm-hmm. last year at Davis. So,
It was fourth and 27.
But it doesn't, right. And it does not feel to me like this is a game going in, you have to be afraid of it being perceived as a bad loss. It's a very respectable, I agree 100%. Houston does not get the run nationally that the Bills do, but they're not far off of that tier. It's, you know, this year, maybe we'll sort that out. Or maybe we won't. It'll still be all jumbled. I don't know. But we've been saying a lot to different guests that are on how much deeper the pool of contenders has gotten in the AFC, and that absolutely includes Houston. I don't know if last year at this time I would have said it did, but they belong there now, at least with everybody else.
Last year they were, though, a two-time defending division mm-hmm. champion, so they were something. And I think maybe they even won playoff games both of those years.
They have won, yes. They've won
3 years
Ryan's
in a row.
Ryan's has won a playoff game each of his 3 years there, yes.
And the Bills are at, like, historic stuff without going all the way at 6 years in a row. How about the Rams? Are we just going to say they should have left earlier?
I don't know.
Your boyfriend had a terrible night.
Yep.
My guy didn't catch a pass. I'm over here praying for a Terrence Ferguson touchdown. One catch would have been good.
Yeah.
Considering what he had one target and he wasn't open at all and the pass was 5 yards off.
Yeah.
There were a lot of those where Adams, Nakua, like the ball's just nowhere near.
Yeah.
With Stafford. So I don't know.
And Miles Garrett
couldn't play.
Echoes of Mario Williams' Bills debut to me.
Oh, the Jet game.
Like that Jet game. Well, you know, I don't think Garrett, I think that he didn't complain about the guy cheating like Mario did after some no-name left tackle just, you know, owned him. Like, oh, well, you know, he punched me in the balls or something. What? Dude, you're playing football. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear this. That's not a direct quote, but, you know, basically.
It's not?
No, I don't think he said that plainly, but it was pretty much that. Like, he was mean. Like, okay. But Garrett did say after the game that he's not 100%, which is, you know, that's off to a great start. You push everything in to go get this guy, and one bad performance, like, yeah, you know, my knee. And that's how it's wrong, but it just, it really, the error came out of the Rams. I mean, long flight home, holy cow.
Yeah, are they even home yet? They left right away? What time? Let's see. I don't need to know. They maybe both should be home by now, but
whatever.
I don't know.
It was a long way to go for that.
How did you do with that game? Like, were you glued to it? Were you sort of in and out? I mean, it's good teams.
I think I know the answer to this. I know it for me. I am more inclined to stay with something if it looks incredible on my giant TV, and that. Whatever you want to say about Netflix getting into the game, and it's another streamer you got to pay for if you want all the NFL content and yada, 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 yada. It looked incredible on my TV.
Just
the colors, it was so vibrant. It dawned on me that we're watching a game, and it's, you know, even when you watch a West Coast, like Seattle the night before, like, it's light out when the game begins, but by halftime, it's also sunset there, and it's nighttime. And
that bothered me.
In this game, it was getting brighter as the day went on because, you know, the sun is getting, whatever.
That bothered me.
It was a little jarring, but it just looked amazing. I just thought that it's so crisp. The colors were really vibrant. You know, I just liked the way the game looked.
There's nothing to do at this point, but it was sort of distracting me that it was daytime.
Especially when I went, halftime, I went upstairs and had it on my iPad. and you know, on my nightstand, and I lay out, lie on my side, and I'm watching the game, and it was so bright. I'm like,
weird.
This is weird. Yeah. Right.
It might not even occur to you.
It didn't until I was in bed. So I'm like, by the time I go upstairs to watch any football game in the evening in bed, it's dark. Like the light at the at the venue, and that was jarring to me. Like, what am I? What is
looks like
on?
A great city.
Sure. Yes.
I don't know.
Sure does.
The Rams were a total no-show.
That's right.
Well, too bad for them.
Yep.
Today, so this is our Friday. Now, Sal is coming up next. That won't be every week. And, you know, we're starting at 2 on Monday, so everything's going to be a little bit different. But Sal, best for him, was 3:30, so we were happy to accommodate him because Sam is going to be at 5:30
today. Right.
Today. We welcome Aaron Williams to the team. We'll talk to former Bill safety Aaron Williams on Fridays beginning today at 4. I've had one conversation with him in my life, and that was at a roast. And it was nice. And he always seemed like somebody
yep.
with something to say and, you know, like a good personality. So I have no idea like whose idea this was or just how it came. We just found out days ago that yep. you guys have Aaron Williams. And I haven't thought about Aaron Williams in a decade, but, you know, we'll see how that goes.
I sat with him at a training camp that maybe you weren't there for.
Okay.
I've had more than one.
That doesn't sound like me.
Just how it shook out. Maybe I was there by myself, but whatever. I remember sitting there. I remember him and Marquise Brown, both Texas guys. Similar.
Marquise Goodwin.
Goodwin, thank you. Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, sorry. Yes, Marquise Goodwin.
I remember that.
Yeah. I remember him talking about.
I like Goodwin.
Yeah, when
we sat with him.
Anyway, Williams.
I don't remember Williams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think I have that memory. I'm not always great at this, but I'm pretty sure that happened, and maybe you just weren't there. You had a day off.
Maybe I was there, but.
But anyway, yeah, so that's happening, and then what do we got after that? 4:30,
Ian Harditz.
Your guys, the RotoWire guys.
RotoWire will be every Friday, and we have Ian today. What do we do about, like, these two games? I mean, there's injuries, of course. Things are a little bit in flux, naturally, because, you know, the season has started. And then again, Sammy P at 5:30, and then picks down the road later.
Somewhere.
At some point.
Somewhere picks will.
We can't not have picks.
Find a home. Picks will find a home.
Picks always finds a home. It always gets above the surface. It always happens. You can't ever. You have to assume picks are going to happen. That's big.
It felt good to start a new note in my iPad with the 2026 picks. I will every week.
The standings. Did we pick last night? I don't think so.
We never did.
Never did. Sal Capaccio after a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Lots going on today. Thanks for being with us. This is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The Bills open the 2026 season Sunday, 1 o'clock, and it's a tough matchup at Houston. This is our last day of talking about it before it happens. Unless one or both of us is like, you know what? I'm not that busy tomorrow. Just kind of come in, figure out how to run the board. I don't even know if I could get myself on the air, but maybe I'll just have one more thing to say.
I'm going to go up in my attic tomorrow afternoon and just turn my gear on and see what happens. I'll just start talking. Maybe you'll be on the air. Maybe
someone
it won't.
Will be here.
Maybe somebody just leave. Zach, when you leave tonight, just leave that potted up, and then I'll be able to
let you make the decision.
I'll just take over. Is Derek doing sports? I'll just come off the top rope on Derek. That's my plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, like
no, none of that's going to happen.
We could try for that, otherwise, this is it.
I've got a mind to do some day drinking tomorrow. I won't have time to be talking on the radio.
Sal will be in Houston by Sunday for this game, Bills and Texans. Last chance to talk about it here with you. We did a little bit of this yesterday, Sal, with respect to DJ Moore, or 50 other times in the last 6 months. But, you know, who's Joe Brady's number one most important guy in the passing game, not including Allen, for this game? Is it Moore? He's new. He's, you know, expensive and make a statement there. Is it Kincaid, who there's been a lot of hype for this year? Is it Shakir back from injury? Like, how do you see that sort of lining up?
Hi, guys. First of all, you didn't get that email. You didn't get that email that email that said on top of Chopin Bulldog 2-6, they're also on Saturdays now. You didn't see that? I saw that.
It must have been a fine print, I guess.
Usually don't get those emails.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I was expecting you guys to be on tomorrow, so news to me. I would say DJ Moore is going to be a very big part of the offense all year, the most important part of the offense. I think in this particular game, you could point more to Dalton Kincaid. And that is a little bit more from just knowing what the Texans like to do, knowing the personnel they have. We asked Mark Vandermeer, their play-by-play guy on the podcast this week, like, where can you possibly even attack them? And look, he said, look, obviously they're very good at all levels, but sometimes they do rotate linebackers. And if you can try to find a matchup there, maybe that's what you want to do. To me, that points more to Kincaid. So I think in this matchup here, I think Kincaid might be the more kind of focus, I'm not going to say important guy, but where you might be able to gain an edge here or there. Whereas, you know, Stingley against Moore, and that might be just kind of really trying to do something that eventually maybe he gets loose a time or two, but that's going to be a tough going.
This sounds familiar to me. I feel like you were talking like this in advance of the game there last year, Sal. Like the tight ends, middle of the field, that, you know, by then you would have had some data to back it up, right? They give up X amount to tight ends, that kind of thing. And I think it was this game, this matchup, and maybe that. So that makes sense to me if I'm right about my recollection that last year.
But Kincaid didn't play.
But Kincaid didn't play, right, which complicated things, certainly.
Yeah, so I think that's probably, I mean, guys, they're just so good at rushing the passer, and their secondary is really good. There's not a lot of room to do a lot. And, you know, if you're going to try and ask your wideouts to win one-on-one, that's first tough to do. It can happen, but then you have to hold up in protection and let that happen. So I just think that this might be a game where you may be looking at trying to get rid of the ball a little quicker, going a little more to the middle of the field, and, you know, try to kind of take advantage a little bit more of the little margins that you might be able to take advantage of.
You know, I made the point here already in our first segment today, Sal, that I think it's probably called for to get the ball out quickly, you know, three steps, whether that, you know, it doesn't have to all be tunnel screens behind the line of scrimmage, but if you can frustrate that pass rush right away, like, they can win all they want, but if the ball's gone, you know, thanks for coming. So we've seen that over the years happen to the Bills, happens to lots of teams. And I feel like that, as much as that is sort of somewhat acquiescing to your opponent, which I know coaches never want to, you know, we want to do what we want to do and make them adjust to us. Well, this is a way to get them to adjust to you. Like, if you can hurt them quickly with a quick hitting passing game, that could slow some of that stuff down. I mean, you know, the edge guys are going to be the edge guys. They're going to be rushing, but I just think it just behooves the Bills to get something going, some rhythm going, to maybe push Houston out of some of their comfort zone.
100%. Like, if you can keep them, what do coaches always say? It's the cliche. Stay on schedule, win on first down. But those things matter when you're talking about a really good pass rush, that if they get you in third and eight, they're coming after you. Simple as that. And, you know, you might be able to get the pass off, but it's going to be hurried. Your quarterback's going to take a hit. So you want to make sure you stay on schedule. You want to make sure that you're in third and manageable. And how do you do that? Well, you got to be able to make sure you get a few yards here and there. You got to make sure on first down you're getting four, and on second down you're getting three, and, you know, that's whatever. That's how you got to do it a little bit. I'm looking back at last year's numbers. This is now not the most scientific way, but I think it's a good way to do it. Fantasy points allowed, right? And the Houston Texans last year on a per game basis, like the Bills, were top five in the league at fewest. But when you go to tight ends, the Houston Texans were still good, but much more near the middle of the pack.
Interesting way to do it. Just in terms of tight end scoring, I spar with a couple of friends of mine in fantasy about that, because I think a lot of times that's schedule-based. I mean, you've had a few elite tight ends, and if you get those guys, then, you know, Kelce and Andrews 3 years ago or something where you play those teams. We had this with the Bills. Like, okay, are they bad against tight ends, or are they playing just the best
really
guys?
Really good players, right.
Sure.
But, you know,
definitely matters.
New season, everything is different here. We haven't talked about Cook. I mean, Cook went for 129 total yards last year against Houston in a loss. His numbers for this game, you know, minus money over 100 yards, again, total rushing and receiving. So this is really not to say anything, you know, interesting, Sal, but, like, you're not going to easily get anywhere if you don't get him going.
100%, you're right about that. I mean, they want to make sure that they get James Cook going a little bit. You can't be one-dimensional against this team. That's what it comes down to. You just can't be. And if they start shutting down James Cook, I mean, yeah, you could say, well, are you pivoting to Ray Davis? And sure, I mean, that has happened before. Teams are so focused on one running back that the other running back brings an element or a dimension that, you know, you can try to take advantage of and do something with. But the bottom line is, if the Bills don't run the ball effectively enough, they're just going to be putting themselves in a very, very, very tough situation with Josh Allen having to throw the ball, being one-dimensional, and that Houston Texans pass rush just coming after him. And that's been the undoing of the Bills in Houston the last 2 years. Josh had his worst statistical performance ever 2 years ago, 9 of 30, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And then last year, sacked 8 times. You just can't allow that to happen.
How do you feel about a new look Bills defense against the Texans? I think maybe we've spent 75% of the time with this matchup on the other side, including this conversation so far. But some, you know, it'll look different players, mm-hmm. different style, versus a Houston team where this quarterback has a lot to prove. I mean, they've won a lot of games, but it's really a pivotal year for Stroud, and this is week one at home. So it's an interesting matchup in that way, too.
If there's one thing I'm really intrigued and excited about, it's looking at a new Bills defense. We don't know enough about it. I mean, Jim Leonard told us the other day, like, yeah, they didn't show a lot. I mean, they wanted to make sure that they did a lot of the basic stuff right, and they have to do a few things here or there, but we're going to see things we haven't seen yet. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I'm excited to see that. I want to know how he deploys Michael Hoyt. I want to know what Bradley Chubb brings to the table for this team. The secondary, how they use C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Cole Bishop. I think it's super interesting and fascinating to me. D'Amico Ryan said last week this very thing. They don't know what the Bills are going to do. You can't go back and look at Jim Leonard's history. You can go to college if you want, what he did in Wisconsin, but that's totally different, obviously. So they don't know. And I think I said this to you guys yesterday. What I think is going to happen is two things with the Texans. They're going to show a lot early. They're going to show the Bills a lot of formations and a lot of different looks, and they're just going to gauge how the Bills are reacting. How do the Bills react to this? How do they react to 12 personnel? How do they react to shotgun? How do they react to this? And they're going to get a little bit of some intel early in the game on how they want to play later in the game. So I think the first couple of drives for the Bills defense is really going to be more about seeing a lot from Houston and them kind of, the Texans trying to figure out what they're getting from the Bills, and that's going to be a feeling out process. The other thing, because of exactly what you said, Mike, I think this quarterback has a lot to prove right now after last year and the regression it seemed like he went through, injuries on the outside for them. I think they're going to rely on their running game, and they're going to want to test the Bills. They're going to want to run the ball against the Bills, not put C.J. Stroud in a position where brand new, young, aggressive defensive coordinator Jim Leonard just wants to go after him.
Yeah, and they have a new toy in the backfield themselves with Montgomery. And so much in the way that you might think, like, D.J. Moore is important, you know, all else equal, as a new weapon in their offense. That's Montgomery. I mean, the Texans have – they had Mixon there, and then he disappeared. Last year, they tried it with Nick Chubb, but then really didn't get very far. He's now retired. Woody Marks is okay, in my opinion, as sort of a complimentary back. But Montgomery is more the workhorse type. And I think with him, not that it matters to the Bills necessarily, you get well into the season, and he's fundamental to their offense. Maybe that wears down. But not in week one. I mean, in week one, like Derrick Henry last year, although he never wears down, does he? But I remember thinking that about that opener last year. It's like, well, he's going to be fresh, which is not ideal. for your opponent. And, you know, Montgomery isn't Derrick Henry, but, you know, that's probably going to be integral to Houston on Sunday, Montgomery. As you just said.
Yeah, and Mark Vandermeer, their play-by-play announcer, said that when he talked with us, that he really likes Woody Marks. And I know what you said, like, you last year he did some nice things. It's a name that kind of popped up, but from his perspective, he believes that Woody Marks could be a pretty contributing factor to their offense this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I just like that he's Woody because he was a Toy Story fan.
Right.
And he dressed up as Woody like 8 years in a row or something for Halloween, which is amazing. Who goes with the same costume 2 years in a row? This guy, like year after year, he would always be Woody.
You gotta love the devotion. Sal, the week began with, I don't know, a half a dozen guys not on the field, and even the last couple of days, the injury report had the same names, but today, I mean, the good news is everybody participated to some extent, and none of the three guys listed, TJ Sanders, why am I blanking on everyone else? Oh my gosh, Ty Johnson, and who's the third guy? Jordan Hancock. All, at least, nobody's been ruled out at this point. So correct. The injury news is somewhat encouraging. If not, you know, for Sunday, maybe just moving forward, that Ty Johnson was able to at least get on the field for the first time in a month.
Yeah, and in fact, we did speak with Joe Brady today after practice, and he said they will all be listed as questionable on today's injury report when it eventually comes out. He also said we'll take it up till game time. So... and they're taking this thing up as far as they can to kind of maybe keep, you know, Houston guessing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you had three guys who all had different circumstances. You had Ty Johnson up till today. You had Ty Johnson who hadn't practiced at all, was that stayed consistent. Then you had TJ Sanders who went from practicing to not practicing and trending down. And then you had Jordan Hancock who went from not practicing to practicing. So he was trending up. All of them were out on the field today. I watched Ty Johnson specifically. I posted video of Ty Johnson. He didn't... I don't think. I had to go back and look. It looked to me like he didn't have anything wrapped up or anything like that. His hamstring.
Nope.
Yeah, right. Didn't have any wraps on his leg. Nothing like that. He was doing, you know, regular position work. And then, you know, when Brady was asked about how much Johnson can do, considering he's been out so long, he's like, he knows the offense. Like, when he's ready to go, he's going to go in the game. And he's going to go play. I do think, though, guys, that you have to think about a game in 4 days from Sunday. Right, I mean, you put Ty Johnson on the field on Sunday. If he has any tweak at all, you lose him for the rest of that game, and you lose him Thursday most likely.
Mm-hmm.
If you hold him back on Sunday, you might get a fresh Ty Johnson, and then you have another 10 days before your next game. Now, I don't know if that's how the Bills are going to play it, but it just seems like in a lot of times in scenarios, that's how teams do play it.
The Barnes Firm Injury Report update is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. If you've been injured in a crash, call the Barnes Firm, 1-800-8-MILLION.
And tomorrow is a clue maybe in this direction, right? With
yes.
Call-ups from the practice squad. What is that, 4 o'clock, when Bulldog will be on the air from his attic with a beer?
Yeah, you when talking you guys are on there. The air. 4 p.m. tomorrow is the deadline for elevations. So usually we get it then. You might learn it before then. Generally the team... lets it be known shortly after 4 p.m. who they elevated, who they didn't. And I think it's a pretty interesting week for that because of the Greg Dortch situation and the punt return situation. And now Frank Gore as well, because if you don't have Ty Johnson, then I would think, you know, Frank Gore would be elevated. So you're right, Mike. So it's going to give us a clue. If Frank Gore is elevated tomorrow, I think we can all but rule out Ty Johnson. It doesn't have to be that way. It might be just be in case of emergency. Mm-hmm. You could elevate Frank Gore and not even have him active for the game just to make sure that Ty's good to go. You could do that, no doubt about it. And they might do that. If Greg Dortch is elevated, he's playing. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They're not going to burn a call up on him and not have him play. And in fact, something interesting that Brady said today, he was asked about Dortch in the offense on top of being a punt returner. And his answer was essentially, look, when you have a guy that only really performs one role, sometimes it's tough to justify putting him on the 48-man roster. If he can do multiple things for you, it's a lot easier to justify. And Greg Dortch isn't just a punt returner, and even though he just got here, because Drew Terrell has been his receivers coach, they've been working in him in the offense to learn the offense as quick as possible. So like Drew Terrell will say, hey, remember in Arizona we did this, we called it that. It's the same thing here with this. So I'm interested in that piece. Like I'm interested that they're also getting him up to speed as quick as possible on the offense.
All right, Sal, enjoy your trip down there, and we'll talk again next week.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
There you go. There's Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Houston's a dome, right?
Yeah.
What's that weather going to be, though?
I think that, is it retractable? I think it might be retractable.
I don't know.
But I don't know that I've ever seen it open. There. Yeah, we have. We went to a media day in the stadium, I remember.
It feels like 106 right now in Houston. Enjoy that.
If it is retractable, it will be closed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. 90s every day, chance of storms. Houston in all white for this game.
You know what I remember most? We got to go to a break here, I know. Most about that flight into Houston is coming in and the way we circled around before we landed, we were right above the stadiums. And the big new stadium is very close by to the Astrodome. And the Astrodome looked like, I don't know, a nickel next to a hubcap. Like, it was just, you know, the eighth wonder of the world. Like, it looked like something a high school would play in compared to this place.
Aaron Williams, Ian Harditz, coming up next hour. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.